Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my people. Good evening to my radio audience this afternoon. I would like to get about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God of Israel, higher. All the glory, all the honor, and all the praise is due to his holy name. I am here again to complete, I believe, a broadcast that I started 2 days ago. I'm here because I must finish this, because I need to help the people of God to understand and know what's going on with the leaders, the people that's up over them. Prophet of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So let's get started with this conversation we're going to have today. And again, I wouldn't word it as a podcast. I'm just here to have a conversation with my blog talk platform today. I'm here to clear up some more things about the way I was treated, the things that were said about me over a phone conversation I had with the GOTC, Gathering of Christ Church, Elder Rishar. The phone conversation that we had was on August 15th, 2021. And I came on the radio on this divine platform that the God of Israel set up for me to speak to his people. I was here Friday to speak to you about what happened during that phone conversation that I had with Elder Carter. So I'm here again today, Sunday, to give you update of that conversation. And again, to finish, I need to let you know about what transpired on August 18th, 2021. The title of this conversation that we will have today, just to clarify what I'll be talking about and giving you update about and going through some Bible verses to give you a clear understanding of what exactly happened to me and what exactly transpired during that conversation. Me, as the prophet of the God of Israel, I like to do anything unless I have his word in front of me to clarify what I am talking about and what I am speaking about. The title of this conversation, Gathering of Christ Church, Elder R. Ungodly Phone Conversation Update. That's what we're going to be discussing again today. This is the radio talk show, and I'm your host, Lisa Buff. I am the prophet of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of Israel. His name is Ahaya. Great I am. So let me just go over questions. And if you would like audio number one, the name of that audio was Gathering of Christ Church, Elder Ricard, I'm got a phone conversation with me. You can go back and listen to that audio that I made Friday just to get a full view and understanding of what I'm trying. do here and what I'm trying to bring forth. Okay? So I'm going to go to the three questions that I asked Elder Carr on his YouTube platform. Is YouTube Gathering of Christ Church platform. And it's Blog Talk Radio platform. And if you would like to hear the conversation that was spoken about, if you would like to hear the conversation that Ms. L. Kashiar had, you can go to the Blog Talk and type in GOCD or Gathering of Christ Church, and the title of that radio broadcast that I called into the show on the 18th of 2021 of August, the name of it is Seeing Through the Confusion. Seeing Through the Confusion. You can type it in on YouTube or you can type it in Blog Talk Radio. Either way, it's going to hear how this brother humiliated me and treated me like last year garbage in front of his church, in front of the whole world. And he called himself an elder and a person that's going to lead the children of Israel to the kingdom. It won't be happening, bro. It won't be happening. So let me go to the three questions. And I also have a message for Elder Rikashiar, that the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, told me to say what I need to say to him today. What the God of Israel want me to say to him today. I have a message for you, brother. From the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of the Hebrew nation. But before I read that message, I would like to go over the questions and the scriptures that started all of this. I called into his radio broadcast Wednesday night. And I told him that I had some questions that I needed to ask. And I held the line. Cartier came on the phone and we began to have our conversation together. Cartier. Question number one, I asked him, and I'm not really going to go through all, I'm just going to read the questions and then I'll go back over the scriptures to write down scriptures that he gave me for the question. I asked three questions and I only got three Bible verses that I asked. The other two questions never did get answered with a Bible verse. And again, as a leader, that's not how you handle a person that's calling into your radio broadcast or your platform to ask you questions concerning biblical understanding. That's not how you answer. That's not how you treat a person that calls you for some knowledge and wisdom and some understanding. He treated me very, very ungodly. very, very nasty and very, very cruel people. So let me give you the first question that I asked him. See, he's been doing this stuff for a long time, people. He's been doing this for a long time, ever since he's been on YouTube and, you know, Blog Talk Radio and all his platforms. He have been treating people the way that he treated me. And it's time for him to be corrected. It's time for him to be corrected. And I'm the only person correct him, me or any other prophet of the God Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's the only one can correct him. It's time now. It's time for you to see, Gathering of Christ Church members, what kind of leader and what kind of elder you are following. It's time. I rebuke his behavior. As the prophet of Israel, I rebuke his behavior. First question I ask. Where in the Bible do it say that an elder can teach the children of Israel the word of God, the Bible, and lead a church? That was my first question that I asked. That I asked because I want to know. I want to know what scriptures do he have to say that he can lead the children of Israel. So that's why I called, because the God of Israel wanted me to call him and ask him that question. And that's what I did. See, he think I'm calling because I want to call. I want to make him look bad. I want to make his church look bad. I want to assert some kind of authority over him as a woman. And that's not my reason for calling him. Well, I wanted to make him, you know, look bad, and what he's doing is not, you know, righteous and holy. No, that's not the reason I call you, brother. The reason I called you is because the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, told me to call you and you. Not all that stuff you said to your members about me, calling me devils and demons and Satanists, Jezebels, and all kind of stuff you went forth and called me. So you got it all wrong, bro. You got it all wrong. And that's why you must be corrected by the God of Israel. You must be corrected. He's here to correct you. You treated an innocent person that called you with some questions. Not to put you down on that, like you was telling your church after you hung up and hung up in my face in front of your whole congregation. What you hang up for, bruh? That's what I want to know. What was the reason for you hanging up the phone in my face? Just because I say I want to say something? That's no reason to hang up in a person's face. And after you hung up, you kept talking about me 10, 15 minutes more to your church without me being on the phone line to back up or to address what you were saying about me. Unrighteous, unlawful behavior. So let me go to the first scripture, people. I was just simply asking him, where in the Bible can he be a leader over the children of Israel? He went to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. This is the first scripture that he gave me. Let me get it. Ephesians 4, verse 8. No, I'm not mad with you, brother. I'm not mad with you. I'm disappointed in you as a leader. As a leader of the God of Israel, I'm disappointed in you. No, I'm not mad with you. I'm not angry with you. What you did, you deserve to give me and my husband an apology for the way you treated me and the way you treated me in front of my husband, calling me all kind of names, very disrespectful. I deserve an apology, an open apology. Because you openly try to ridicule me and make your church feel like I was some kind of Satanist, some kind of wicked, evil witch that was calling into your broadcast. So, yeah, I'm telling you what the God of Israel want you to do. And it's up to you to do it. It's up to you to do it, bro. It's up to you. Ephesians 4:8. This is the first scripture he went to, people, for the first question. He went from 8 all the way to 11 verse. I'm just going to go to verse 11 because that's the main one that he came with to try to make me believe that it was okay for him, an elder, to lead the children of Israel and to be over the church of the living God and for him to have a church. That this is the one he wanted me to believe. Like he got all his members, believing that he's righteous and what he's doing, because he was taught by his elders to do what he doing without any scriptures to back up what he doing. Yeah. All his New Testament scriptures that he went to. Not one scripture in the law. Not one scripture in the Tanakh. Not one scripture in the Torah to back up his eldership. Ephesians 4:11, people. Let me read. Let me break down this brother behavior with the same very scriptures that he used or gave me to say that it's okay for him to be an elder and lead the children of Israel in the church. This is what Ephesians 4:11. He started from verse 8, but I'm just going to read verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And again, like I said, Friday, there's no scripture right here to prove anything about what he's saying, an elder. I don't see no elder right here at all, people. I don't see no elder. And when you do a precept, you try to precept this scripture, Ephesians 4:11, you're going to get all New Testament scriptures. You're not going to be led back to the Torah. You're not going to be led back to the Tanakh or none of that. So again, there's no way a leader of the children of Israel, a leader of the God of Israel, can use a New Testament scripture to bring forth some understanding to the children of Israel and his people without the Torah or the Tanakh being a part of that. So this is a dejection. This scripture is clearly an ejection. People that translated the scrolls and created the New Testament after they killed all the disciples, they killed the Son of God, they came forth the New Testament. This is an ejection. Why? Because it don't take you back to the Torah. We're up under the law where the God of Israel told somebody they can be apostle. Where did that come from, people? Prophets, yes. You have plenty of prophets. You have plenty of prophets in the Old Testament, in the Tanakh. What scripture can they use for evangelists? Don't exist in the Torah, in the Tanakh. What scripture can they use for pastor right here? Don't exist in the Torah and in the Tanakh. You're going to get that one where it say, my pastors are men. Y'all need to do some research on that scripture, I'm telling you. But anyway, I'm not talking about that. I'm just trying to identify and show you how the brother Elder Ricarcia of the Gallon of Christ Church tried to use the Ephesians 4:11 to show me that it's okay for him to be an elder. And there's no word here that can match him being an elder. And he said, oh, yeah, this is the administration. This is, you know, this was what was set up under Christ. Under Christ, he said. This is set up now. This is what it is now. No. No. So you look up the word teacher right here in Ephesians 4:11. It's Greek number 1320. An instructor. Generally, it don't say nothing about no elder. Don't say nothing about an elder. An instructor generally or specifically doctor, master, teacher. Sound like some Christian church stuff to me, people. Doctor. Who call themselves doctors? Ronnie Devine and Joyce Myers and all them people, Paula White. They all doctors and masters and all that stuff. No, the God of Israel don't have nothing to do with this Bible verse. It's clearly an injection to bring forth their religion. One moment, please. Now let's go to the next Bible verse he tried to use. You can't use this for elders. Because when you precept, it's not going to take you back to the order of an elder that's in the covenant up under the law. You can't use this for no elder to say that an elder have a right to run a church or to be over his people. There's no precept for it. None at all. Next scripture he used, 1 Timothy 3:1, people. Come on. Let me show you this wickedness that's being displayed through this ministry. That you poor little sheep don't understand anything about. 1 Timothy. Hold on, people. First Timothy, that was his second scripture that he went to. First for the number one, 1 Timothy 3:1. You get that. First Timothy 3:1. Guest call in number 661-244-9831. If you would like to call in, just press number one on your keypad and call in and ask me whatever you want to say, whatever you want to say. I won't be cutting you off, Elder Rashia, do all his callers when they call in, because he don't want to answer their questions. But he don't want the people to see his behavior and what he's doing is wrong. So he cut people off. That's what he do all the time. He cut people off because he don't want nobody to see and understand what he's doing is wrong. 1 Timothy 3, people, verse 1. For question number one, where in the Bible can it teach the children of Israel the word of God and lead a church? 1 Timothy 3, 1, this is what he gave. This is a true saying: if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desire a good book. Number one, he's not a bishop. Number two, bishop is not up under the law. This office does not even exist up under the covenant at all. This all Christian church garbage and madness. That's what it is, people. It's another church. It's another God. It's another people that's trying to take the children of Israel place, spiritual Israel, they call themselves, the Christian church. They have bishops. They have evangelists. They have teachers. They have apostles. This is another doctrine, another people, spiritual Israel, with different offices up under the Christian church that's not part of the Torah that he gives motion. See, y'all people don't understand. You just don't understand what's being done and what's being played. Even Elder Ricard, your wonderful elder, that y'all people love so much and believe in so much, you just don't understand. You just don't. He don't understand. That's why the God of Israel wanted me to contact him. Some knowledge and some understanding that he don't have. See, he already think he got it all, and he know it all, and he don't need nothing else. But that's not true. And that's the whole reason, people, for my call. If the brother would have just humbled himself, not under me, but the God is with me, to humble himself, then he would have understood what was the call all about. He would just let me ask him some questions and, you know, just say what the God is you want to say. Then all of this wouldn't have transpired the way that it transpired. But because he couldn't, because he's narcissist, because he couldn't humble himself. Number one, I'm a woman. As elders, a woman can't say nothing but sit down, be quiet. Absolutely madness. Again, Christian church madness and injections in the New Testament. Anyway, 1 Timothy 3:1. This is a true saying: if a man died of the office of a bishop, he died a good work. He desire good work. It's a Greek number for bishop. one night in the courtyard, gave me inspection. Greek number 1984 for bishop inspection for release by implication superintendent, especially the Christian, what I tell y'all, the Christian office of a bishop. This is all about Christianity, people. Overseers say right here in 1 Timothy 3:1, the headline. The God of Israel ain't have no bishop. The God of Israel have prophets, priests, judges, princes, prince up in this earth. That's why people so confused. So this is what he gave. He desired a good work. Injection, people. It don't take you back to the Torah. This how you know when something is being injected for you to believe. It will not take you back to the God of Israel law. What he said and how he said it. That's how you know it's an injection. 1 Timothy 3:2. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, diligent, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apart to teach. So if this was, this office was up under the God of Israel, higher. If this office was up under, and it is not. Then must be blameless. So how can he use this scripture saying that a bishop must be blameless the way he treated me in front of his congregation? A bishop or elder, if you want to use it to say that, you know, a bishop, I have a witness that the brother, the way he treated me, was so very shameful. So very shameful. A bishop must be blameless. Blameless. The husband of one wife. How many wives have he had? How many wives have your elder Ricarciar had, G-O-C-C? I'm pretty sure he don't have more than one wife. Vigilant. What is vigilant? Vigilant means sober. Greek number 3524. Sober. That's the question, the first question. This is the second scripture that he gave me, the second Bible verse. That he gave sober it say. Look what it say for soul. Greek number 4998. From the base of and that of safe, sound in mind, people. Sound in mind. That is self-controlled. Moderate an opinion or passion. So again, people, all the things that that brother did in the whole conversation Wednesday night, there's no way possibly that he could use this scripture in 1 Timothy 3:2. There's no way possible. He didn't have no self-control. He was out of control. Out of control. No self-control. He wasn't sound in his mind. He had a temper tantrum. He went off. He was all kind of behavior and all kind of face expressions was being this not sound in the mind. Don't have good sense. He have good doctrine that he's been taught by his leader. He believes it's good, but it is not biblical what he is doing. An elder don't have no business at all leading the church of the living God, and his name is Ahijah. He wasn't sober in the mind. He didn't have no self-control. I said, brother, let me say something. Let me say something. I've been trying to get in touch with the church for 2 years, 2 or 3 years. Can I say something? You would think someone that have some kind of capacity and empathy, they will say, yeah, sister, go ahead. You know, you've been trying to call the church for a long time. You know, go ahead and say what you need to say, sis. This is a good brother. This is a good man. This is a man with empathy and compassion and love. That's why I say, people, he's a narcissist because he don't have no empathy. None at all. And the little stuff that he do in front of y'all church, in front of the church, is just to keep you little, poor little sheep believing in him. Deep down inside that brother's soul, Elder Ricarciar of the Gathering of Christ Church, he don't have no empathy, he don't have no self-control, and he don't have a sound mind. And it says, that's the Greek number 4998 for the second Bible verse that he gave, 1 Timothy 3:2. No self-control, moderate as an opinion or passion. Moderate. Moderate. He had no moderation for me. I was nobody to him. I wasn't nobody to him, people. I was a nobody to him. No moderation. None at all. No niceness. Just mean and cruel. Mean and cruel. Nasty. Unloving, unholy, unforgiving, everything. So he can't use this. Because again, it says here. 1 minute, please. It says a bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilantly sober. That's what sober means. Greek number 4998, passion. He didn't have no passion for me. It didn't matter who I was, what I was. What I was talking about, no passion, no concern, no nothing. Can I say something, bro? No, you can't say nothing, sir. I'm going to put you in gigabyte land. And he hung up in my face, and that's what he did. That's no control. That's no self-control. That's not sound in your mind. A person with a good mind and a good soul and a good spirit would have never treated me that way. Never. No passion. No passion for me calling in and saying I've been trying to get in touch with him for 2 years. So it said a bishop must have good behavior. What? He didn't have no good behavior. He's a childish man, so very childish. So very childish the way he acted, people. So very childish, calling me demons and Satanists and Jezebels and all kind of stuff he was just accusing me of, falsely accusing me. No good behavior. He can't use 1 Timothy chapter 3. To say that he's an elder and he can run a church because he don't display none of these attributes. if this scripture was valid, and it's not, it's an injection. Good behavior. You know what it says for good behavior in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, Greek number 288 staff. In its primary sense, orderly people, orderly, orderly. He was out of order. He was out of orderly. That is decorous, 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 orderly, able to talk to a brother or sister. Able to communicate with a brother or a sister orderly, the way the God of Israel would want him to handle that phone call. He did not handle it. He handled it straight up like a devil and like a sinner. That's how he handled it. Good behavior. Yeah, and I'm not trying to say nothing on this platform. I would love for him to come and defend his own self. If you out there, call me right now, bro. But y'all, you ain't gonna call because you got you too prideful. What I gotta say don't mean nothing to you. No order. No order. No order at all. Modest is say Greek number 287. For good behavior, modest, given to hospitality, given to hospitality, Greek number 5382, fun of guests. Come on, people. It's sealed right there. It is sealed right there. How your wonderful, loving, G-O-C-C, Elder Ricarciar, what he's all about. Fun of guests. I was a guest calling his radio broadcast. Fun of guests. Fun means nice, pleasant, sweet, wonderful. Given to the hospitality. Fun of guests. He wasn't fond of me. He demonstrated to me that he hated me. He hated me. He didn't want to talk to me. He didn't want to say. He could have simply said, well, you know what, sis? I don't have a lot of time today. So you know what? You can call me back, and I will make sure that one of the elders do, you know, we will dialogue later. We'll talk later. He didn't have that intimacy. Fond of guests this day, people. That is hospitality, given to lover or use hospitality. Fond of guests. Fond. See, he don't want nobody to question his authority and his leadership and what he's doing in front of his church. That's mainly what it's all about. Well, if you don't want nobody to question you, Elder Ricard, then you shouldn't have where people can call in and say what they want to say and voice their opinion. If you don't want nobody saying nothing about what you're doing and how you're doing and all of that, you should cancel the phone conversations when you come on Wednesday night. He can't use that, people. He's a narcissist. He's evil and he's evil. That's the behavior that I saw. That's the fruit that I saw on that brother Wednesday night, apart to teach, diacted, apart to teach, not giving the wine. He drink wine, no striker, not greedy for fill. He loved money. He loved money, gain, Greek number 146, filthy lucre, but patient. Still reading 1 Timothy 3:3, people. but patience. Say something, brother. Say something. No, you can't say nothing. Jezebel, Satanist, demon, go talk to Tom Cruise or Rihanna or whoever you want to talk to, because I won't be talking to you. Talk to Gigabyte Land. Patient is Greek number 1933. Appropriate, that is by implication, mild, gentle, moderate, patient. He don't have it in him, people. He don't have it in him. He is not a leader of the God of Israel. He's not a leader. He don't have no attributes, no personality as the leader of the God of Abraham and Jacob. No patience. None. What? And he treat everybody like that, that call into his radio broadcast. Everybody. I have watched the brother several times disrespect people. Not only me. I don't watch him disrespect all kind of people. People that have been trying to get in touch with him, and he just brush them off the phone and all of that. And, you know, tell them, yeah, we'll call you later, just leave your name. And them people never do get calls, most of them. I'm not saying all because I don't know. But he don't have no patience with the people of God at all. At all, people. Not a brawler. It say Greek number 269 for a brawler. Peaceful, peaceable. I didn't see no peace on that brawler. Y'all go back and listen to the tape. Go back and look at it. You can clearly see when you look at the brother that he want to make me look bad and feel bad. And he want to get his grandiose. See, he a narcissist. See, he love grandiose. You know, he want to look, make everybody else look dumb, like they don't know nothing and they don't know what they're talking about in front of his church. And he know everything and he know what he's talking about and can't nobody correct me. I'm Elder Carr and yeah, I got the truth and I know the truth. And see, it's grandiose, a narcissist. He's a brawler. He don't have no peace. He's not a peaceable person. He's not friendly. He's not nice. He's not kind. He's not understanding. And not covetousness. Filthy lucre. So y'all people, you get the point, people. Do you get the point? Second scripture he took me to. Third scripture, and then I'm gonna give you a message. I'm going to read Elder Ricard's message from the God of Israel. What third Bible verse he gave? So he can't use Ephesians 4:11. He can't use 1 Timothy 3:1 and 2. Because they all in Judges anyway, and he do not the behavior or the personality trait that the God of Israel is talking about if it was a true scripture, but it's not. But that's the way you're supposed to act when you're a good brother or a good sister, when you're dealing with the people of the God of Israel. That's the behavior and the attitude you must have. 1 Timothy 5:17. Last scripture that he gave me. 1 Timothy 5:17. Let's go to verse 5. Yeah, he don't know. He didn't realize who I was. He said, oh, yeah. I said, yeah, I used to be a pastor of a Christian church. Well, yeah, you know, you should get a pen, pastor, he said. He told Elder Ricard, okay, Elder Ricard, get the scriptures. Get the scriptures. The three little scriptures that I'm reading, he told Elder Carr, get the scriptures. Paraphrasing. You want to hear exactly what he said, go back to the tape. Do you have an ink pen, pastor? He said, are you still a pastor? I said, no, I'm not a pastor. Not anymore. I don't follow no religion. And that's when he called me a Satanist. Just because I say I don't follow no religion. I'm a Satanist. Mm. 1 Timothy 5, people, verse 17, people. Look. Look what he said, people. He said, let the elders, and again, this is Paul writing to Timothy, the New Testament, I think it said Timothy was a deacon or something. I'm not going into all that. Let the elders that rule well. You don't rule well, bruh. You don't rule well. You one of the most ridiculous leaders that I ever even talked to. You ridiculous, man. You are ridiculous. Let the elders that rule well be accounted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Again, let the elders that rule well. Rule who? When did the elders ever rule anything? That's what I want to know. When did they ever rule anything, see? Up under the law, the covenant, the elders didn't rule nothing. And they still ain't ruling nothing today. Believe me, just because they injected this little scripture in the New Testament that don't take you back to the Torah at all to talk about your elders, what they did and how they ruled. Injection, people. Let the elders that rule, the only rulers that the God of Israel ever will have, is a prophet and a priest. They was over it all, kings and all of that. Yeah, you can go into that too. They ruled kings, King David, Solomon, all of them. But you don't see no elders ruling anything, people, up under the covenant. Let the elders rule well. Greek number 4245, older, senior, Israelite Sanhedrin. The celestial council or Christian. Yeah, that's what it is, Christian. That's exactly what the brother displayed to me. That's exactly what I was expecting. All them three scriptures he gave, I already knew what he was going to go to. Before he even gave, I already knew he was going to go to Timothy. I knew he was going to go to Ephesians. I already knew. That's why I told on the phone with my brother. Millions of dollars, I get all that. That ain't a proof to me that I'm a lead people of God. That's not going to prove to me. Because I know all this. I want you to take me back to the law. I want you to take me to the Torah, what you teach. That law is good. You need to keep it. You need to do it. Take me back to that and show me where in the Bible it says elder can run a church or elder can run a ministry. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. To be counted worthy. See, if this was a scripture up under the God of Israel and it's not as an injection, counted worthy. It's Greek number 515. This is the way an elder should be. This is the way the elders have to be up under the covenant. They didn't rule nobody. Moses and all the prophets ruled, and the priests and all of them. But be counted worthy. It's a Greek number 515. to deem, entitle, or fit, desire, think good, count, think worthy. Of double honor, he said. Double honor. Let's look up the word honor in Greek. Look up the word honor here in 1 Timothy 5:17. Greek number 5092, people. A value that is money paid. That's how you're going to give them double honor. When you keep giving them that 10% up out of your check. When you keep making them donations. No, the God of Israel don't have nothing to do with this scripture, people, at all. I'm telling y'all what I know as his prophet. There's nowhere in the Bible, nowhere up under the law, in the Torah, that an elder receives some money. That's what double honor means. Money paid, or concretely and collectively, valuables and analog esteem, especially to the highest degree. Oh, my God. An elder going to be esteemed to the highest degree. For the dignity is self-honor, precious, price sum. It's all about money paid. That's how you give them double honor. See, again, this is a New Testament Christianity madness that was injected in the Bible after they killed everybody. There's no precept in the Torah in order to not to give the elder double honor. Mm. So no, people. It said, give them double honor, especially they who labor. They who labor. They who labor. In the word of and doctrine. Okay? Again, the only person, only ones that labor was the Levite in the word of God and in the doctrine of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the law. It was the law. It was the prophets. It was the priests. Get them double on. But again, your GOCC, Elder Carr, and all your Hebrew Israelite camps and churches don't even believe in prophets. They said John the Baptist was the last one. What kind of madness is that? Again, people, they don't want no one to correct them. That's what it's all about. They want to be in authority. Over the church of the living God, over God's people, they want to be in authority. They don't want nobody to correct them, and that's why they teach you people that ain't no prophets no more, because they got to be in charge. Double honor is money. You got to keep getting them that money. You got to be faithful to the gathering of Christ Church. We don't want nobody ain't going to pay no tithes. We don't want nobody ain't going to be faithful. We don't want nobody that's not going to believe in what we believe, what we teach. So, yes, people, those are the three scriptures that he went to. And then I think it's another way to say rebuke, not an elder. Let me go down here. Let me see. Right here said 1 Timothy 5:19. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Yes, I had a witness. The night that we made the phone conversation together, my husband was here. He was my witness of the way this brother treated me. Yes, I have accusation, and I have my witness, and I am the prophet of the God of Israel. I have a right to rebuke him. I have the right and authority to rebuke you and your behavior. And it says, but before three witnesses, Verse 20, them that sin rebuke before all that others also may fear. And that's what I'm doing right now, people. I am rebuking your elder with Kashiar of the Gathering of Christ Church. The God of Israel is rebuking him, rebuking his behavior, rebuking the way he handled a phone call, rebuking the way he treated me, rebuking the things he said about me before his audience. I'm rebuking him as the prophet of his, of the God of Israel. That you may fear, people, that you may fear and understand that that's not the way you treat people. Y'all sitting up under this man, been learning of this man 15 years, 10 years, 20 years, 5 years, 2 years, and you believe that the behavior that he displayed is acceptable before the God of Israel. And it's not. It's not acceptable, people. That's why I am here. That's why I am here. To rebuke him in front of the whole world. He is to be accused. He is to be accused for the way that he treated me. Okay. Have to get the Bible. Wow. Give me a minute. So, yeah. Where in the Bible the children of Israel had a church when they was in captivity and elders was running it? That's the next question I asked it. That's the next question that I asked him. He couldn't answer it. He went into, you know, the Roman Empire and all of that. And, you know, y'all just go back over the tape and listen. He didn't have no Bible verse to back up that the children of Israel, when they was in slavery, when they was in captivity, that they can run a church. That they had churches set up and that elders set them churches up and ran them churches. He only got the New Testament. That's all he got to prove his point. He don't have the law to prove his point. So guess what, people? If he don't got the law and he don't got the Torah to prove his point, it's counterfeit. It's counterfeit. It don't stand in the heavenly tabernacle. It don't stand what he's saying. It don't stand what he's teaching. It don't stand what he believes. Why? Because he don't have the Torah to back up what he is saying and what he's trying to bring forth about him being an elder running a church. And that the children of Israel was in captivity. They had a church and elders ran. It don't stand. It don't stand because it's not up under the Torah. It's false, people. It is false. So I'm going to go to Acts 7 because he told me, you know, he started talking about the church, you know, under the Roman Empire, Christ set his church up and all, you know, he started saying stuff like that. And, you know, Tetches is some man, and, you know, that's not in the Bible. You know, he was set up and, you know, under Rome, and that's when the Church of Christ was set up and Peter and them had it set up and all of that. He went in. Paraphrase. So I'm going to go to Acts 7, 34 and 38 to show you when the church was set up. It wasn't set up under no Roman Empire. It was not set up under no Roman Empire. And Christ didn't have, what church did Christ have? He's the King of Kings, and he's, you know, he's, it belongs to his Father. The church belongs to the God of Israel. The God of Israel is married to the church, and that church is the 12 tribes of Israel, the body of Christ. That's what they said in the New Testament. He didn't never say that he had a church and go to church and he running a church. And none of that stuff that's being displayed. He always glorified his Father. He always lifted up his Father. The church belonged to the God of Israel, a higher, his Father. Let me go to Acts 7:38, Pete, to talk about that church and when did that church begin, the church of the living God. Acts 7:38, Pete. This is Stephanie's speech before they stoned him to death and killed him. He began to talk about the church. He began to talk about the children of Israel. What you want to call it, the church, but it ain't none but a group of people called the 12 tribes of Israel. He began to talk about them before he died. When did that church? When did it begin? Acts 7:38, people. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness. Now, I'm going to go up to Acts 7. What is it? Acts 7:34. Read that all the way down. Acts 7:30 to 38 verse. Talking about the church of the living God. As he said, a church. He said a church was came forth under the Roman Empire. And it came forth in the New Testament. That's what he said, people. I didn't hear him saying nothing about the church was born in the wilderness at all. Acts 7:34. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt. And I have heard their groaning. And I am come down to deliver them. And now come I, will send thee into Egypt. This is what Stephanie is telling the people before they stone him to death. Kill him. Because he was telling them the truth and they didn't want to hear the truth. Verse 35. Moses, whom they refuse. Who is they? The elders and the children of Israel. That's who refused the people. The same people that's refusing him. Today, the elders and the children of Israel, with your new doctrine that, you know, that you run to the New Testament and try to teach people. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler. So it was the elders in the wilderness with the children of Israel when they left Egypt, despised Moses. They didn't want Moses to be rude. Moses is a prophet. They didn't want Moses to be over them. They despised him. They refused him. They rejected him, just like Andrew Ricard did me the other night. He rejected me as a Hebrew sister, number one. He refused to hear me out. He refused to listen to what I had to say after I said I've been trying to get in touch with him for 2-3 years. He don't know what I wanted to say. He don't know what I wanted to tell him. He don't know. And it wasn't important for him because he don't have no empathy and no love and no remorse for another brother or another sister. And y'all people think that's cute. Elder Gloria and Elder Gabar and all y'all think that's cute the way he treats people. You accept that behavior from him as a leader, as your leader. Now, I'm already leaving it because I'm running out of time, people, so I got to finish this. But they refused Moses, Acts 7:35, saying, who made thee ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and delivered by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. So God is the one made him a ruler. God is the one that made him a leader over the children of Israel, just like he made me one. I don't need no man to, you know, clarify who I am in the God of Israel. He the one made me what I am, prophet. Verse 36 of Acts 7. He brought them out after they had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt. Moses brought them out. Aaron, his brother, he was a prophet. Moses was a prophet. And when Aaron's people became the prophet of the children of Israel, he is the priest forever. He is the minister of the God of Israel forever, the Levite. Forever. No one will ever change that and stop that. Say it right here. In the land of Egypt, in the Red Sea, and in the wilderness, 40 years, Moses was with them. For 40 years in the wilderness, the prophet was with the children of Israel, and the elders came up against them the whole 40 years because they wanted to be ruler. They wanted to be over the children of Israel. They wanted to tell the children of Israel what they had to do and how they had to do, just what they're doing today. Because they say all the prophets are dead and done away with. So they won't ever be corrected. This is that Moses this day. Verse 37, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall a higher your God raise up unto you. Unto me, him shall you hear. So, the Son of God, Yeshua, is our brother. He is our brother. He is our king. He is our savior. He's not over the church of the living God, his father. He's not over the church. He didn't come to be over the church of Ahia, his father. He come to talk to them. He come to minister to them. He come to show them what they was doing wrong. But he ain't never said that he's the church. He's you know, he's the Christ. Or he's the Messiah over the church of the living God. He never said that. And it says 38, this is he that was in the church. This is he that was in the church, talking about Moses, in the church, in the church, in the wilderness, in the wilderness with the angels, which spoke to him in the mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. Our fathers would be the 12 tribes of Israel. They gave us the lively articles, the word of God, the covenant, the law. Moses was the prophet of the church that was birthed in the wilderness, not no elders. The elders is the ones that rejected, refused, and came against him. And Aaron. And Miriam, the prophetess. So yes, people. So yes, what I am saying, people. What I am saying to you. I'm going to read Acts 14:27. And then I'm going to read question number 3. And then I'm going to go to the message that the God of Israel gave for Elder Ricardo. Acts 14:27. Acts 14:27, please. Getting hot. I gotta turn the AC on now. Where is it? One moment, people. Acts 14:27. Still on question number two. Where in the Bible do it say an elder can, where in the Bible was the children of Israel had a church when they was in slavery and when they was in captivity and an elder believed? That's the second question. I'm dealing with that with scriptures now. Acts 14:27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Give me one moment. Question number three, why do you believe in prophets when Revelation sees that question number three, why you don't call the God of Israel by his name 95% of the time? You call him Most High, and are you sure that that's his title? When you run research, the word take you back to Jehovah. Get the rest I need to give you here, people. Then he went to the script. You know, he just kept talking about me to the church. You know, he just kept talking about me. You know, and then he went to the scripture where it said, my pastors are men. So, you know, right there, he wanted the audience to believe. He wanted the audience to believe a woman ain't got no business. And that's the church. I mean, that's the scripture that he used all the time to try to shut up a woman from saying anything. That scripture ain't got nothing to do with no woman speaking or none of that. My pastors are men. When you look up that word pastor, you'll see what it means, okay? You'll see what it means. It ain't talking about no woman coming to no man talking and coming to, you know, a brother telling him how she feel. It ain't saying none of that, people. It's simply talking about animals. You know, the pastors are men. They take care of animals. That's what it's talking about. That's what it's talking about. All my pastors are men mean that they take care of the animals. That's all. It ain't got nothing. It ain't saying nothing about a woman that ain't supposed to teach or a woman don't supposed to be no pastor. None of that. Took out of content. It's part of his doctrine that he's been taught by his elders. So let me give you the message now. And if I have time, I'm going to read one more scripture. Let me read Numbers 3:5-10, and Numbers 8:24-26. Let me read that. Numbers chapter 3. Let me read the message first, because I don't want to be disconnected without finishing reading this, what I need to read. It said, this is a message for Elder Rikashiar of the GOCC Church. From the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, Ahayah, is my name. Again, told to me to contact. The God of Israel told me, brother, to contact you and get in touch with you. He told me that about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. He told me that. And that's the only reason I called you. You thought I was working out of my own spirit, my own mind. You know, that's what you thought. You judged me wrong and falsely, bro. Supposed to get in contact or get in touch with Elder Ricard or one of the elders, because the God of Israel wanted to help him with a few things that he needed to correct. The God of Israel wanted to correct you, bruh. That's all it was about. He wanted to correct you. He wanted to show you something you are doing and something that you are teaching and something that you are saying is not biblical and it's not under his order. So that's what it was all about. The phone call is to correct you so you can stop teaching the people wrong. But you, with your narcissistic spirit and your attitude, you refuse to be corrected. And that's your problem, bro. That is your problem. You refuse to be corrected by the God of Israel, and then you refuse to correct the woman. And you feel like a woman can't correct you because you've been taught by your elders that a woman can't do nothing but sit down and be quiet. And you don't have no law. You don't have no laws, no Bible verses in the Torah of under the law to tell you that a woman's supposed to be quiet. So again, you cannot use that. We're dealing with the law. We're dealing with the God of Israel. We're dealing with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We ain't dealing with what no man done taught us and what no man done said and what no man done told us to do and what no man injected for us to teach. We're dealing with the Torah, the law, the covenant. You don't have nothing to say. A woman can tell you nothing but the New Testament scripture. So the God of Israel wanted to call you to correct you. One of the elders, it says here the message that he wanted me to read today. Elder say, again, it was told me to contact or get in touch with the elder. Elder Ricard or one of the elders, because the God of Israel wanted to help him with a few things that he needed to correct. Not saying everything he teach is false. I'm not saying that, people. And I never say that about that brother, because I don't sit down and listen to some things he have said and talk to the people. I ain't never going to say that everything that he's saying and everything that he's putting out there is false. That ain't what the God of Israel had me to call him for, to tell him that he was false and what he was saying and all of that. Not saying that everything he teaches is false, just that the God of Israel wanted to correct him. And biblically, the only way that the God of Israel, he will ever correct his people is with his prophet and his word. In his words, or the word, or the word of God, the law. So that's why he used me to call you, because I'm his prophet. That's the only way he can correct you, is with a prophet. He'll never correct you no other way, but with a prophet. It's biblical, man. Look through the Bible and see it. All through the Bible, it was always a prophet correcting the people of God. So that's what the phone call was all about. If you didn't know that, you didn't give me a chance to say what it was all about. Because your ego's so high, you so way up there, man. You need to calm down, man. You need to calm down. Calm down, number one, and calm down. Because the way you treated me, you will be dealt with, bro. You will be dealt with. Because you did not treat me the way that the God of Israel wanted you to treat me with that phone conversation. You must be dealt with, man. Must be. He's not an unjust God. He's not an unrighteous God. He's righteous. He's holy and true. You teach the law and follow the law, and we need to keep the law, and all of this. But I don't see your behavior. I don't see your behavior and your attributes standing up with the law. It's all talk, bro. It's all talk with no action behind what you teach it. So I had to give you that so you'll understand why I called you number one. You didn't have no right to call me all them names you called me. You didn't have no right to say the things that you said to me. You didn't have no right. I didn't do nothing to you. I didn't say nothing wrong to you when I called you. I just said I needed to ask you some questions. And can I say something? No, you don't want me to say nothing because you don't want the people to see. You don't want the people to know and see and understand that some of the things you teach and some of the things you say are false. You notice I didn't say all. I said some. Be ready, leave me. I'm getting ready to leave. I'm going to read Numbers chapter 3. And you're not going to come forth. You're not going to stand up for what's right, bro. You're not going to stand up for what you believe in. Why? Because I'm a woman. What I say don't matter. But you got it all wrong, bro. What I say do matter. It do matter. Because the God Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the one told me to call you. So it do matter. So brother, you might do a debate with him, but just because I'm a woman, I don't have no right to talk to you. But I do have that right. Numbers 3. People, I'm almost finished. About to get ready. Numbers 5, verse 10. Numbers 5, verse 10. It said, in every man's hollow thing, let's go to verse 9. In every offering of all the holy things of the children of Israel, which they bring unto the priest, shall be his. In every man's hollow thing, shall be his. Whatsoever man, any man give it to the priest shall be his. Verse 10. Next verse. With all the holy vessels, the word, the Levites, the king of God of Israel, in his order, in his sanctuary. And again, Israel would never have no church without Israel going to be in unless it's in Jerusalem. You close your church down. You don't need no church. The God of Israel ain't told you people to have no church. You in slavery. You in bondage. You in captivity. The church was birthed in the wilderness after they left Egypt, after they got out of captivity. And it wasn't no building. It was just a tent. The God of Israel don't dwell in buildings made with hands. What's wrong with our people? Are y'all crazy? He already told you that. I don't dwell in buildings made with hands. In a tent. That's what he told David. I'm happy, David, in a tent. I don't need no building and all that stuff you want to be. I'm happy with it just in a tent, David. But if you want to build it, go ahead and build it. But look what happened. Solomon went off and started serving all the gods, the same stuff you people doing right now. His church will always be in Jerusalem. All these churches that you see on the corner, all these camps, churches, all these, the God of Israel, higher. He ain't got nothing to do with none of that. None of those are his altars. None of those are his altars. And that's what he's trying to show you, Elder Ricard. That's what he's trying to show you and your elders, that you don't have no business calling yourself running no churches on this side of the earth when he will only have one church. That's in Jerusalem. That's in Bethel. That's where his altars were set up, by Abraham, by Isaac, and by Jacob, and by Paul and all the rest of them, David and all of them, in Jerusalem. You don't have a scripture. You don't have a precept. You don't have a Bible verse for what you are doing right now. And that's what the call was all about. What are you doing to correct you? To correct you. You cannot lead the people of God. You cannot do it. You are Judah. You the lawgiver, yeah, because Judah was the king. They gave the law and told the people what they had to do and kept everything in order as a king, but not as a priest and not as a prophet. That's your order. That's your office. The lawgiver, the king, Judah. Numbers 8:24. This is it that belongeth to the Levites. From 25 years old. And upward, they should go and wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. You cannot even, number one, Elder Ricard, you can't even be over the church of the living God unless you're 25 years old and older. 25 years old. Up under the law, and you got to be a Levite. You got to be a Levite, okay? You got to be. verse 25. And from the age of 20 years, they shall cease waiting upon the servants thereof, and shall serve more. No, I'm sorry. Let me read 24 again, people, and 25 of Numbers 9. Let me go to verse 23 of Numbers 9, okay? And Ahijah spake unto Moses, saying, the prophet, this it is that belongeth unto the Levites from 20 and 5 years old and upward, they shall go in to wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. They was over the church. They was over the sanctuary. Levites, 25 years old and up. Verse 25, and from the age of 50 years, they shall cease waiting upon the servants thereof, and shall serve no more, but shall minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of the congregation to keep the charge, and shall do no service. Thus shall thy due unto the Levites touching their charge. So once they got 50 years old, they was not allowed to do the service of the congregation or the sanctuary, to minister in the priest's office, to minister for the children of Israel to the God of Israel. Once they got 50 years old, they had to go sit down somewhere or go help the other young brothers to minister in the priest's office as Levites, to teach them how to minister and take care of the sanctuary. Once you get 50 years old, you are not allowed up under the law, man, up under the covenant, to minister in the priest's office to the God of Israel for the children of Israel. This is up under the law. I don't think you're 50 years old yet, but I'm pretty sure you got some people running your churches and your ministries and your camp that's over 50 years old. Go back to the Torah, man. Go back to the law. Stop looking at what you've been taught and what you've been, you know, your elders told you to do and all that. Go back to the word of God. Only a Levite can lead the church. Only a Levite can build the, can run the altar in the service of the sanctuary. Only. Only 50 years old. Once you're 50 years old, you cannot stand before the God of Israel for the children of Israel no longer. You have to be a young man to do that. That's when it comes to the priest, not a prophet. You have prophets with 70 years old, 80, 100 years old. That's only dealing with the Levites, the priests. And with that, people, I think I'm going to be finished now, people. So I just wanted to come on to give you an update. Hold on. Excuse me, people. Excuse me. I just wanted to come on, people, and give you an update of how Elder Rukashiar treated me on the phone conversation that we had on Wednesday night. On Wednesday night. He's a narcissist. A narcissist is a person. Oh, let me read First Timothy to give you an attribute of a narcissist. Let me show you what this brother really is, according to the word of God. A narcissist. First Timothy. I'll write that down. One moment, people, give me a minute. Yeah. Let me get it in 10. One moment. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 3, people. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm getting ready to leave after this, okay? Second Timothy chapter 3. This know also. See, this is what the Bible describes as a narcissist or narcissist people. That's why the Bible tells you in the book of John that you will know them by their fruit. Fruit means their personality, their character, the things they say to you, the way they treat you, the way they respond to you, the way they act towards you. You will know them by their fruit. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. But see, you GOCC members, y'all refuse to look at Elder Ricard's behavior. But you're so in love with him. You're so brain dead about the things he's teaching you and saying to you. So in love with you. He's so deep and he got so much wisdom. And you know what? Again, I'm not putting brother down, but I'm just correcting him as the prophet of the God of Israel. I'm correcting his behavior and the way he handled the phone conversation and the way he treated me. That's all I'm doing. That y'all are so in love with him, man. So you can't see straight. You can't see his fuse. You can't see that this brother don't have no empathy. He don't care about the next man or the next woman or the next boy or the next girl. All he care about coming on that YouTube platform and Blog Talk platform on Wednesday and on Saturday and giving y'all little sheep what he believes to be doctrine. What he believes to be doctrine. That's all he care about. He don't care about how you know he treat nobody. And y'all people believe that the way he treat people is acceptable. Again, it's unacceptable. But look what 2 Timothy 3 says about a narcissist. He's talking about the last days. The last days, people. These people are being revealed. The book of Timothy is showing you these people, these narcissists, and these people got so much pride and they don't care about nothing and nobody. All they care about is what they want, how they do it, and when they do it. In the last days, it says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Look at our world. Look at our world, people. We are in perilous times. And everybody want to talk about the government, what they doing, how they doing. We are in perilous times. And don't nobody know why. Let me repeat that, Pete. Don't nobody know why. Again, because all the focus is to the God of Israel, and it's put on the government, man, what they can do, how they do. All the focus of perilous times and what's going on in this earth is took off the God of Israel, and he the one doing it. He the one doing it. Yes, I know that without a doubt. He is the one that's causing all these floods and hurricanes and storms. Yeah, whatever the government do with their harp system, let them do whatever they're doing. But the God of Israel going to do what he need to do to show that he's the God of all gods. And don't nobody have power over him and his earth. It's his earth. He created it. He do whatever he want to do with it. Whatever the government try to do, he'll knock it out in one second, man. 1 second. They ain't going to never, ever outdo the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob or higher. Never. If they harp system or whatever system they got, climate change, whatever they got going, it'll never outdo the God of all gods. The Lords of Lords, they call it in the New Testament. Ain't no Lord up under the Hebrew. The God of all gods. Perilous times shall come in the last days. If y'all want to put it on the devil and the government, she'll come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. These are the kind of people that we are dealing with in this earth. Men and women. Lovers of their own selves. No empathy. Narcissists. That's what a narcissist is. Don't care about nobody else. Care what nobody got to say. How they got to say. Long as they can do what they feel they need to do, they okay. And that's your wonderful GOCC leader, Elder Ricarcia. She'll be lovers of their own selves. Oh, yeah. What you talking about, sister? My elder, he done help people. He done gave people this. Yes, see? Yeah, they got to throw a little bit of this and a little bit of that out there just to keep y'all people going along with what they are saying and what they are doing to get that money up out you. But you can clearly see the way the brother treated me on the phone. He a straight up unloving and unkind person, lover of his own self. It didn't matter what I had to say. He didn't want to hear. If it's going to come against what he's teaching and what he believes and what he's throwing out there at his church members, he don't want to hear it, even if it comes from the God of Israel. And that's exactly where it was coming from. But he would not let me talk. So if he didn't let me talk, he didn't let the God of Israel. What it was. For men should be lovers of their own selves, covetousness. Yeah, I read that in Timothy. Covetousness, what a God is, you say that you shouldn't be covetous. If you're a bishop, you should be blameless. Covetousness, boasters. Boasters. Proud. Narcissists, they some proud people, man. You cannot get these people to do nothing. So obedient, unthankful, unholy, That's the way he acted all along. Unholy, ungodly. Without natural affection, this is a narcissist. They cannot love. They don't have no natural affection for. He treated me like that, people. He treated me like that. He didn't have no affection for me. No love for me. No natural affection. No empathy. Narcissist. Truth breakers, false accusers. I was falsely accused by Elder Ricard.
falsely accused. He hung up the phone, still accusing me of things. And he don't know nothing about me, man. He never seen me a day in his life. Falsely accusing. This is the way the people are in the last days. This is how you know we living in the last days. This is how you know we living in the last days. False accuser. I hate leadership. I hate men. I don't want no man leading me or telling me nothing. Falsely accused. Your elder because you are. That's what he did to me. Falsely accused me. That's against the Torah. That's against the law. He committed an offense against the God of Israel. He committed an offense against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Law. That's what he did. The Bible tells you in the Torah how to treat one another, how to talk to one another, how to respect one another. He went totally against what he said he believed in the law. He went totally against it. He used to be a Jezebel. Said, I lay up with all kind of men. That's what a Jezebel is. Ahab's wife, Jezebel, she laid up with all the prophets of Baal so she can get them to do what she needed them to do. He was telling me that I was a whore. That's what he was telling me in another form. He was actually telling me that I was a whore, calling me a whore. A Jezebel is nothing but a whore. Call me a demon. A demon. I worship Satan. I mean, I let Satan control me. I let Satan run my life. I am Satan. I'm a demon. I'm a Satanist, he said. I practice witchcraft. I'm a Satanist. A sorcery. My God, people, I was falsely accused. My brother that say he's into the God of Israel. He's whole, he's righteous. I'm getting ready to leave. I'm in overtime now. So he, without natural affection, falsely accused, incontinent. I said to intensity. You cannot be a brawler. You cannot be a person that, incontinent means the brother don't got a good mind. He crazy. He is crazy, people. He crazy. Oh, yeah, I'm going to delete this sister. Yeah, sister, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you in Goodbye Land. And, oh, yeah, talk to Tom Cruise and go talk to Rihanna. What? Incontinent. Before his congregation. Incontinent. Crazy. Mad. Not sober-minded. That's what incontinent means. Not sober-minded. Mentally ill, a narcissist. He had a disorder, a mental disorder called narcissist. Incontinent, crazy, anxiety, impatient. Couldn't let a sister talk, man. Couldn't let a sister say nothing, but impatient. And he treat all y'all like that. Every time people call, he treats y'all the same. Don't let nobody say nothing. Impatient. Incontinent to say. I'm reading 2 Timothy 3 for the last days. We're living in the last days. I'm showing y'all that. We're in perilous times, all kind of stuff going on. That's where we are. The world is about to end, people. The The world as you know it is about to end, and the world as I know it is about to end. Yeah, that's what's going down. If you really want to know the prophetic, that's what's going down. If y'all didn't know it, the Pope already made the 7-year agreement. Y'all didn't even know that, did you? It speaks of Revelation, where it say it would be a great tribulation, and the man of sin going to make a 7-year agreement. And then within the 7 years, he's going to break the contract. 3.5 years, the contract will be broken. And he's going to call all small, great, rich, and poor to take the mark of the beast and make the image of the beast and worship the beast. The 7-year contract have already been made. And you know what? Y'all don't even know it. Go tell your elders that to help you to understand that, since they so deep. They so deep and they in the truth and they got the truth and they know the truth. Yeah, tell them that. Ask them what the mark of the beast is. Let me keep going, though, just to close out right here, people. 2 or 3 more scriptures and I'm leaving. So it says, 2 Timothy 3, incontinent, fierce. Ooh, this brother was so angry. Fierce means a lot of anger, a lot of bitterness. Oh, fierce, uncontrollable, man. He had uncontrollable behavior. Fierce, full of anger. Oh, no, sister, you know, you call me to just ask me some questions. I'm going to answer your question, but no, you can't talk. You can't say nothing. Go ask your pastor. You ain't never questioned your pastor, his authority, and all of that stuff. Fierce. A lot of bitterness. His brother been rejected a lot in his life. Because he reject people all the time. So you know what? To me, that's the attribute that you have been rejected a lot in your life because you reject other people. It's a behavior. It's a behavior that he's been involved in. I don't know how long, but I know the fruit when I see that. And y'all know this GOCC church members, that he don't never talk about his life. He never talk about when he was a little boy growing up. He never talk about, he might say something about, yeah, my daddy, you know, they was in the church, or my uncle was in, you know, his parents, you know, his family being ministers and pastors and stuff like that. But he don't talk about things he been through in his life. He never share his life story with the members of his church. All he talk about how he, you know, the truth and who he was up under to learn the truth. This is a narcissist. A narcissist can't talk about their childhood and their past and what they went through and all of that. They don't have no empathy. They narcissists. They don't want, because see, a narcissist got to always look good in front of people. They got to always look good in front of people. And that's why they won't talk about what they went through when they was children, how they got raped, how they got molested. This happened to them. That happened to them. Why? Because a narcissist must always look good, and he must always look like, or she, like they in control. Like they in control of the situation. He never talked to you people about what he really went through in his life. Never. And he never will. Why? Because he's a narcissist. Narcissist people hide their true identity. They hide their true personality. They hide the way that they are. They pretend to be things that they are not. They're narcissists. They got to look good in front of everybody. And that's just the way he is.
And it say, and I'm leaving now, people. I'm going to read this and I'm gonna say I'll talk to y'all later. Man. It's what it fears, despisers are those that are good.
He acted like he hated me. I ain't never did nothing to the brother. That's how I was. I felt like, what did I actually do to make this brother delete me and hang up in my face and wouldn't let me say nothing? Despisers of those that are good. We living in the last days. This is a narcissist. They don't want nobody to be good. They gotta be the number one uno. You number five, you number 10, like that. But a narcissist gotta be number one uno, people. They despise what's good. Despisers are those that are good. Traitors. Traitors. Heedy. Heedy means you can't tell them nothing. They head so blowed up. Boom. Boom. Blowed up. Oh, you can't tell me nothing. And the way he do his debates and his dialogues, that's how he do. Nah, bruh. Heedy, high, got his head is blowed up, man. What he believe in has blown up his head. How can he be the only person in this earth that's right, that know what he's talking about? How can he be the only person that got the truth? This is a heedy person, a high-minded person. Not willing to listen to what someone else say and try to research and look it up and see what they talking about. If they maybe some that I didn't know that this person know, I need to take heed and just try to understand what this brother or sister saying. Maybe to help me. Maybe what I had to say to him, people, on the phone conversation was actually going to help him, and it was going to help. But he didn't receive it. He rejected it. And the God of Israel wanted to help him. That's why he told me to call. High-minded. Look at that, people. High-minded. Heated. Heated up, man. He was heated up that night, man. Y'all should have saw it. But he was heated up. High-minded. Can't say nothing to him. Ain't going to let you say nothing. Ain't going to let you talk. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. He have a form, people. He have a form, because he's not godly. He's not godly. And guess what? I have that evidence, and I have recorded it on the Hebrew record. The Elder Rikashi are of the Gathering of Christ Church. Treated me, his sister, his Hebrew sister, ungodly and unrighteous and unholy. And he rejected the God of Israel word, what he told me to call him and ask him. He didn't receive. He didn't receive correction. God of Israel want to correct him. He didn't want to receive it. So people, with that, it's recorded. Today is August the 23rd, 2021. It's recorded on the Hebrew table, the Hebrew records. It's written in the book of good deeds and bad deeds. This one would be written in the book of bad deeds for Elder Rikashi, Richard Shepherd. I think that's his real name. It's recorded, bro. It's recorded. In the books. With that, people, I'll talk to y'all later. When I get off my vacation, I'm finished with it. I'm not going to say nothing else about it. And if the brother want to identify and prove his actions and his behavior and the way that he acted and the way that he treated me, then he'll get in touch with me. He'll contact me. If he's a righteous brother, if he's a good brother, he's a good man, and realize that what he did was wrong, he'll contact me. I'm finished with it. I did what the God of Israel wanted me to do. Contact him, and he rejected me. And he rejected the God of Israel. I'm finished with it, people. I'm not going to say nothing else. I'm not going to make no more conversations about it. I'm done with it. I did what I supposed to do. But it is what it is, people. I'll talk to y'all later. Bye for now.